And now, meet a man with a very, very sensible passion, and I don't think any of us in this room will disagree with it. His passion is real ale, and he's set up, along with a group of his mates, his own micropub in Newark, and his name is Duncan Neal. Hello, Duncan.
Hello, good afternoon.
What a sensible man you are.
Thank you very much. Not many say that.
you don't look traditionally real ale to me. I mean, you know, the poor real ale people, they get a bit of a bad reputation, don't they? It's sandals and socks and this sort of thing.
They do, yes, indeed.
You're not quite in that mould.
I'd like to think not, but the image is certainly changing, has done for over the last few years, with many, many more females joining the ranks, I'm very pleased to say.
More women drink beer now, don't they?
They do indeed. I think it's something that's happened a lot, and large increase really over the last certainly 3 or 4 years. It's been a steady increase, but it's certainly taken off now, and that goes hand in hand actually with the amount of microbreweries that there are about now, and many of them producing lighter ales and even fruit-based ales, which appeals to the female drinker more often than not. It's a bit rarer to see one with a pint of mild or something. You tend to find it's a paler beer, but it's introducing them, and they're finding that you know, it's something where there's a lot of different flavours. I always defy anybody to, if they've got the time and the patience, there's a drink out there in real ale to suit every single person. It's so easy just to blanket it all and just try one and say, don't like it.
I think you're completely right. And these days, people are getting more and more aware of the range of beers that are available. And you start to see in the sort of supermarket magazines and things like that, and the food magazines, rather than it saying, oh, this is the wine we suggest, or this is the best matching wine, they'll sometimes suggest a different type of beer to go with the recipes that they've put in, in the book. And I mean, why not, to be honest with you?
Exactly.
We've been drinking beer with food in this country for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's only recently, I think, recently, I'm talking decades, actually, you know, with the influx of wines and wines getting cheaper, that's taken over. But there's no reason why you shouldn't drink beer with foods of all sorts, is there?
No, not at all. And like I say, that range is so vast now. Like I say, there's a drink out there to suit everybody. You can be matched up. People basically just want something with taste and flavour at the end of the day, much as they did with wines. I mean, we go back, like you say, probably only 3 decades, and your choice of wine was Blue Nun and Liebfraumilch, and that was basically what you saw on the...
Bottle Blue Nun, please. Would you like to taste the wine? No, just top it up.
Yes, exactly. That has obviously since expanded, you know, through South African and Australian wines, especially added to the French that we get in this country. And that's opened up people's taste buds, if you like, on wine. And the same thing's happened with beer. And now with so many microbreweries about, which are really challenging the big boys on that, which majority of them just stick to the nitro keg bland fizz, people actually realise that, yes, there is something out there. There is something that tastes. It is good for you. It's got no chemicals in it. I mean, it's 95% water. It's got 4 ingredients. And it's actually just been proved with a research that's just been done, which I think was partly done by the university here in Nottingham, if I remember correctly, that it's not fattening. Drinking in moderation, and it's also very good for you, such as you know, a glass of red wine a day.
There are doctors screaming at their radios at the moment.
I do hasten to add, in moderation, like most things in this life.
Drink responsibly, may go up as well as down, subject to status. Yeah, may contain peanuts. Beer does make you fat, but you have to drink a lot of it in order for that to happen, don't you?
You do.
Craig, nitro keg or Blue Nun?
No, we don't.
I called you Craig again. I'm so sorry. I'm going mad. Ever since we had a caller, Uncle Craig, I think you're ridiculous. Owen, are you? I mean, you're a beer drinker, aren't you? Do you like the real ales, or do you stick to the lager?
No, I love. If I'm like camping or whatever, and we go to some of those like country pubs, I'll go in and have a few real ales. But I'm more of a lager drinker, really.
Mm. That's because you're younger, though, isn't it? It's a generational thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a shame, I think, that you know, I mean, you know, we're probably not a similar age, but you're probably a bit younger than me, but it's a shame, I think, that maybe real ale has skipped a generation slightly, hasn't it? And people tend to drink lager these days.
It has. I mean, many people will tell you that perhaps your taste buds change as you do mature, and I think that's quite possibly true. Plus the fact that I think at a younger age you're easily led along by mass advertising. Certainly to a certain degree, and I don't want to insult anybody, but a slight you know, kind of sheep mentality as well. You tend to do what your mates do. You know, you tend to visit the same sort of places. Yeah. It's only, I think, as you get older, you tend to make your own stamp on your life. And like I say, you move in whichever direction that they may be. And like I say, with the possibility of a change in taste as years go by, that might well, you know, be a benefactor towards that. But there are more and more youngsters trying real ale these days. But it is, I think, to be fair, you do tend to find that majority of people that drink it regularly are probably over the age of, you know, 30, 35.
All right, Duncan, we'll have another chat in a moment.